Like yourselves, why there seems to be a resurgence of post-apocalyptic TV shows and movies, or at least a more sophisticated branding of such for the last few years. It's my belief that we love this apocalyptic genre because it kind of gives us some sort of comfort when we feel the world is out of control. Things could be worse. And despite the heavy dose of gore and violence that I see in these shows, which I don't like, I do like the show The Walking Dead because its setting allows for the exploration of some pretty deep aspects of human behavior and dynamics. And the show unabashedly explores theological concepts like God, life, pain, life after death, community, and rebirth. The setting is an alternate modern day where a virus has infected our entire civilization. None of the infrastructure works anymore. There's no water, there's no electricity, there's not enough resources to keep things going, and one has always to be on one's guard. And none of the survivors have been spared from the loss of loved ones or the loss of their normal lives. No stone has been left unturned. The survivors respond to this dark time in three ways. Some choose to hide and isolate themselves. Others try to build community and look after each other. They try to build a better society in a renewed way. And yet others are opportunistic and seek total control through the use of power, violence, intimidation, and greed. It's a hyperbole of the world around us, the dark aspects of the world that we see. The apocalyptic literature in Jean would have been familiar to Marx's audience, and I would venture that it's becoming popular again for many of the same reasons. Marx's audience was a discipleship under persecution. This gospel was written about the time of the destruction of the temple, somewhere between 67 and 70 AD. And the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And the audience of the author of Mark were people that were traumatized by the Roman-Jewish war. This whole chapter, chapter 13 of Mark's Gospel, is an interpretation of Jesus' teachings to a missionary people living in fear and despair. As such, it gives testimony to the living Word of God and how God works in our own lives, in our own context, to provide us with hope, urging us to endure, telling us to keep watch. The use of Jesus' words in this chapter is meant to help us understand that amidst death and destruction, in the face of what looks like sometimes God has abandoned us, God is still there. 40 years about after his death, Jesus' words were echoed by Mark to comfort and guide a people, to let them know that this is not the cosmological end. It is instead the beginning of the birth pangs. It also serves to redirect our church away from institutions and false prophets and toward the embodiment of Christ. The world, as we know it, often feels like it's in disarray. There's a polarization occurring across the globe. We see a growing power of white supremacy, and there's a growing schism between those who have and those who have not. Wars and civil unrest continue in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Sudan, Burundi, and on and on. Not to mention the many drug wars in Mexico and Colombia. Children live in poverty in our city. People are seeking refuge from regimes that would have them killed for who they are. There's homelessness, and indigenous people continue to suffer the effects of the residential school system. There's also goodness. There's also the penetration of God. And we have our own personal struggles. We have our own addictions, or disease, or loss, our loneliness. So in the midst of all this pain, Our challenge lies in how we respond to it. We can choose to isolate ourselves from the facts, deny the pain around us, or we can choose to seek hope and rebuild society, working towards peace, reflecting the places God is to be found. And we can also choose to become opportunistic and seek profit from the war and poverty in life. And our choices and actions may waver within our own lifetimes and even sometimes within our own single day of our life. Mark's gospel tells us to stay in hope. This is not the end. The final victory will come when the kingdom of God is fulfilled. It is here, but it is not yet fully realized. There's a great story I find about an incident that happened in colonial New England when the legislature was sitting and there was an eclipse of the sun. And then the legislators panicked and thought this is the end of the world, and so they begged to have the session adjourned. But one legislator said, "Mr. Speaker, if it is not the end of the world and we adjourn, we shall appear to be fools. If it is the end of the world, I should choose to be found doing my duty. I move you, sir, that candles be brought." Mark's gospel speaks to our Christian duty to bring those candles to the dark corners of our world, to continue to watch and hope and be disciples. It asks us to consider our daily lives through the theology of the cross, to seek out moments of hope and seek God in our surroundings and in each other. Because Jesus has penetrated our lives, and God is ever-present, even when it doesn't look and feel that way. As the theologian Lamar Williamson Jr. said, Mark 13 speaks to us all, those who expect too much, and to those who expect too little. It's especially pertinent for those who have forgotten to expect anything at all.